in Matthew 16, and begin with the 24th verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. There's a new cross today in religion. It's that shiny, easy, convenient one. Amen. But this cross that he's talking about always kills its victim. Always kills the ones that bear it. The new cross, they don't kill out anything. Amen. But this one, it takes drastic measures. The individual is killed on it. And that's God's will, that the flesh die. Amen. That Christ may live. Praise God. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? His soul? Amen. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. I'd like to read Mark's account of that same scripture, because Mark terms that latter part just a little bit different. Mark chapter 8 makes it a little clearer what he means, really, if you will. It's a little bit the same in the former part, almost word for word. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That's what Brother Curtis was talking about a while ago. Leaving all to follow Christ. Amen. And then he says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now here's the part that's different than Matthew. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Matthew says, every man will be rewarded according as his work shall be. Mark says, if you're ashamed of me in front of this adulterous and sinful generation, do you think he might have been talking about ours? Look like it, don't it? Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. That's another way of saying every man's going to be rewarded according as his works shall be. You're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Get the same. It's reciprocal. And then he said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. How much is a soul worth tonight? How precious is a soul tonight? Any soul. Amen. How precious is one soul tonight? I'll tell you how you can tell how precious one soul is. Amen. Jesus said, what does a man profit? He should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Now let me ask you another question. How precious is your own soul? Huh? It makes a difference when it's my soul. Doesn't it? At least at the start, makes a difference when it's my soul. It makes a difference when it's my life. Amen. The people were taking up an offering for the poor, and a pig and a chicken passed by. And the chicken said, let's give them ham and eggs. The pig said, well, for you, that's just a sacrifice. But for me, it's the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Makes a difference when it's mine. And it makes a difference when it's yours. It don't make all that much difference when it's the other fellow's son or daughter. But boy, the fat's in the fire if it's yours. Makes a big difference if it's yours. Ask any mother. Ask any father. Amen. Let me read you a scripture in Malachi. Malachi 3:16, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And he said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. What are the jewels the Lord's seeking? People that are so faithful and sold out to God that they fear the Lord and think upon his name and seek to do his will. The faithful. Amen. He said, in those that day when I make up my jewels, he said, I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son. I done told you it makes a difference when it's your own son. Amen. Be careful what you say about the other person's son or daughter. Tomorrow the chickens may come home to roost. Yes, what goes up comes down. What goes around comes around. Amen. It'll be yours, chances are, the next time. Amen. Yeah. He said, jewels. Praise God. Let me read you a scripture in Daniel. He said in Daniel 12:2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever. Praise God. Amen. Jewels. Jewels are of no value until they're discovered. And then the work has just begun. They not only got to be found, they've got to be ground, they've got to be polished, and then set. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus found me, aren't you? I'm glad somebody found me. Praise God. How precious is a soul tonight? What did it cost? See, that's how you determine how precious anything is. What did it cost? Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Nowadays, you know, people take pride in how much they paid. I decided to let the other fellow pay first. And if I get my automobile a little bit second-handed, it's a good way to look successful cheap. Amen. Let the other fella take the loss. Amen. There's little that you can eat in the boast of how much you paid. But on the other hand, things are precious, are mundane according to how much they cost. Amen. What did your soul cost? I'm talking about you, precious one, individually. Your soul cost the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our cost, the death of the Son of God. Precious. The jewel of heaven. Heaven's choice. The only begotten Son. How much does a soul worth? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Precious because of what it cost. It's Easter time. If you don't believe it, look in the stores. Amen. They've been celebrating from almost a month now. Amen. Everything Easter's come out for a good while now. Yeah, it's Easter time. Some folks at Easter time will take Holy Communion and they'll eat the bread, and in that Holy Communion they'll remember. And Jesus said, as oft as you take this cup, as oft as you eat this bread, you do it in remembrance of me. The Lord never wanted you and I to forget. Amen. And so He gave us one of the only ordinances, the few ordinances in the church. We only have three that I can find in the New Testament, and that is communion, baptism in water, and God hath ordained, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that they that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. Every time we take one of those most important communion services, we remember His blood. He wanted us to. Why? Because it's what your soul cost. Amen. Cost. Let me go farther tonight. Cost. Amen. That's what our army of martyrs and missionaries marched to the block and the rack and the torture of jungle heat and the frigid cold, like David Brainerd, who stained the snow with the bloody spittle on his consumptive lungs as he prayed to God for the Indians of New England. Amen. While his fiancée, Jerusha Edwards, wept. Amen. Amen. They would never have a life together. David Brainerd's would be poured out for the precious souls that a lot of people thought were just savages. They called them Injuns. They had a saying in those days, there's no such a thing as a good Injun. David Brainerd didn't think so. And many of them got saved under his ministry. And when they were attacked and some of their villages destroyed and murderously, cruelly murdered, amen, by people that thought they had no right to live, and they stood like Christians and died without lifting a hand against their adversaries because they got saved. Their soul was precious to God. Praise God. Your soul is precious tonight because heaven would not be complete without it. You see, God was not satisfied to create a world filled with light and beauty and sunshine and flowers and the symphony of the forest, of the birds, amen, and the creation that he had made, the sparkling rivers and the dashing cataracts and the cascading waterfalls and the welcome of the rising sun in the morning, amen, and the sunset at twilight. And God said, I'm lonesome. I'm ad-libbing here a little bit. I need someone to share this with. Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And so he reached down in the dust of the earth and he formed a man meticulously and painstakingly, fearfully and wonderfully. He made him. And after he enclosed the heart with 100,000 miles of blood vessels, amen, and created a nervous system out of clay that reached into every fragment of every cell and every capillary, praise God, of the human system, praise God, and enclosed it in protective bars of bone that we call ribs, and enclosed that magnificent first computer that we call the brain in what we call the skull, amen, and then decorated the outside with hair and good looks. And the most handsome creature you ever saw was old Adam when he walked into the sunshine with God's breath pulsing through his lungs for the first time. And God led him in the cool of the day to see the sunset. Amen. And Adam sighed and God said, isn't it beautiful? And they had fellowship together. And then God left Adam by himself. Amen. And one day he decided he couldn't walk with Adam all the time. Amen. And so Michael, he created Eve. Amen. You get it, don't you? Praise God. He said it is not good for man to be alone. It wasn't good for Adam to see all this beauty, the blooming of the flowers, the glory of springtime, the colors of autumn, the mountains with snow, amen, and all this beauty and all this glory, and not share it. He said, I'll make him a helpmeet. And so he put Adam to sleep. Amen. And he made for Adam from his own side a rib he took. And out of that rib, praise God, God created woman. Amen. And somebody said it's been woman ever since. Amen. Since men have jokingly accused Eve of eating us out of house and home. Amen. Oh yeah. Amen. But I don't want to tell you, But Adam woke up from that sedative that God gave him, that deep sleep, and he looked in the deep blue eyes. I don't know whether it's blue or not. Amen. I don't know, but when he looked into Eve's eyes, they might have been hazel. It might have been green, for all I know. Amen. But Adam sighed again. He had woman, the mother of all living. Someone to share. Praise God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God. And heaven will not be complete. 6,000 miles of the most magnificent jewels. Amen. Bedazzling the foundation walls of that city will mount the very little brother Homer if you and I don't see it. God wants us to see it, Brother Croucher. He wants to show it to us soon. Amen. He wants us to see what he has prepared for us. Oh, God must have thought your soul precious to have built a city of pure gold, a city of crystalline clear jasper, a city with a river of life, a city with a tree of life, blooming 12 manner of blooms, bearing 12 manner of fruits. Glory to God. Amen. Brother Vince Wilson said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shake the tree of life and let the blossoms fall all over me and just cover me up. Praise God. Oh, God wanted you to see it. I want you to know you're precious. Because of what he has prepared for you. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. The grandest and greatest of all jobs, Brother Curtis, no matter what you had to leave to win souls, is worth it. Because it has the greatest of rewards. He that winneth souls is wise. They're precious. They are precious. Daniel 12:3 says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. We first got to win them. And then we have to meticulously and lovingly, carefully, Brother Burns, amen, amen, turn them to righteousness. Because when you first win them, they don't always walk immediately. They crawl first. Now, some of you might have been born walking, but I doubt it. Amen. Amen. Some of you might have been born quoting 23rd Psalm and Shakespeare, but I doubt it. Amen. We had a lot of growing to do, didn't we? Amen. And young converts do too. They got to be loved. They got to be cared for. Sometimes they have to be spanked. Amen. You have to be careful about spanking the babies nowadays. Neighbor will tell somebody on you. Huh? Cousin of mine is about to spank her little boy because he hurt his little brother. Amen. A fella drove by. This is in Salem, Arkansas, just a few years ago. A fella drove by from the direction of the school and stopped his car and he said, if you whip that child, I'm going to call the law on you. He's one of these Spalkites, I guess, you know. Didn't believe in chastening the children. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, that just ruffles my feathers. If I'd have been there, I'd have been tempted to whip him and the child both. And they both needed it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I couldn't whip nothing, but I was a fighter circle saw. Amen. I never did run from a battle. I got whipped a few times. Amen. But glory to God. We sometimes have to be spanked. if we amount to anything. Amen. You know the reason there's so many rotten kids today? We've got delinquent parents today. Amen. They're afraid to spank them. Amen. Yeah. You say, my child's nervous. Bring him up to my house. Leave him a week. I can cure his nerves. I've got the cure. Praise God. Amen. I know what you need to do, and you can cure him too. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you don't accept that. That's your boy, your girl. He's precious to you. Amen. And you will pardon you. Amen. Do the spanking if it needs to be done. You won't even ask Brother Collins to do it. And that's the way it ought to be. They're precious to you too. You want them to mount to something, don't you? Praise God. Oh, he said, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. Praise God. That's why we preach holiness. We're trying to turn people to righteousness. Gently as possible. Kind as possible. As nice as we can. Preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Uncompromisingly, yes. But lovingly, yes. And we wait on God for the growth. And we're willing to trust God to help them to walk when the time comes. Amen. What am I going to do with my child? He won't eat. Let him alone till he gets hungry. I guarantee you he'll eat. Amen. Oh yes, your soul is precious tonight. Hallelujah. This attitude toward souls is a big difference between the professional preacher and the God-called soul winner. Amen. Praise God. The professional preacher only cares about his profession. He may not even preach against sin in order to be popular. Amen. A lot of them are not. Some of the biggest churches in the world today are those that hide behind each other to sin. Amen. Oh yes, we live in a day when bigness is the run. Bigness. Oh, if you could have a church with 5,000, or you're having church three times a day in the same church, that, they say, is success, but not necessarily. Amen. I say it's better to have 10 churches with 300 and a pastor shepherding them and converting them to righteousness and turning them to righteousness than it is to have 3,000 hiding behind each other to sin. And that's what they're doing today in a lot of the bigger churches. There are just so many people, amen, that one man can pastor. I'm not against bigness. I'm not against having large crowds. Amen. But if you have large crowds and do the job, you're going to have a lot of shepherds. Under shepherds. A lot of people working to help perfect them. Praise God. It'd even be better to have 300 churches with 100 people than to have a church with 3,000. It's not the big churches that necessarily cultivate great talent. Amen. Most of our preachers and great soul winners and Christian workers were cultivated and brought up in a smaller church where they had a chance for expression and exercise of their particular gift. Amen. This is just my 2 cents worth, if you don't mind. Amen. But a lot of churches are like Solomon with his 1,000 wives. Amen. Solomon had 1,000 women. Now you might successfully be the boss or the head of one woman. But if you got two, you got double problems. Amen. Solomon had so many that C.L. O'Bannon said it'd take him 16 hours to kiss them all good night if he spent 5 minutes with each one. Amen. Solomon didn't help his wives none. He didn't perfect them. Amen. They didn't pay any attention to his convictions. As a matter of fact, he had so many idolatrous wives, amen, that he couldn't change, that he couldn't affect their destiny. Instead of changing them, they changed him. And Solomon became an idolater too. Solomon fell into their same error too, to pacify them. 1,000 squalling women, 1,000 clamoring women, 1,000 jealous women, amen, drive you out of your mind. Ask Solomon, amen. Yes, sir. He couldn't do very much for them, and so instead of changing them, he joined them. That's what a lot of preachers have done. Amen. They got a big crowd, all right. Amen. And they couldn't change them. They couldn't do much to affect their private life, their lifestyle, their holiness, their standards, one way or the other. So they decided if you can't lick them, you might as well join them. And so they joined them. Ho, ho. Some of my friends did that. Several of them. For nothing in the world but numbers and money. M-O-N-E-Y. Amen. I wasn't born yesterday. Praise God. Here's a big difference between the professional and, shall I say, with the reserve and the qualification. And I'm not against success per se. But the so-called successful preacher today may not be so successful after all. Amen. Amen. Philip could win a whole city, Samaria, preach Christ, praise God to Samaria, and convert everybody in town. Even old Simon the sorcerer got baptized under Philip's message. But he was so sold out to do the will of God, so knew the worth of one soul, when God said, arise and go toward the south, which is the desert, toward Gaza. Amen. And as he went down that way, he found an Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. He never could line his pockets. He probably wouldn't send no offerings back. Amen. He probably wouldn't be worth any money to him from there on. Amen. But he's trotting along beside his chair. Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, when I have no man to tell me? Amen. And he jumped up in the chair, sat down beside him, and began at the same scriptures to preach Christ and him. He left that big revival to win one soul. Amen. Because he was obedient to God, he became the only preacher just about in the New Testament that had supernatural transportation. Where he won the Ethiopian to God, went down the water to baptize him, there wasn't no McDonald's around the corner. Amen. The blistering hot sun was blazing down. Amen. It was a long way home and getting dark. Praise God. And the Bible said the Spirit caught Philip up and he was found some 20, 25 miles away. Arizona's, hallelujah, had supernatural transportation for a taxi. Amen. To the nearest town. Aren't you glad God knows where you're at and what you're up against when you got souls at heart? Amen. Jesus deals with the individual soul. In Matthew 16, Mark 8, his own soul. Oh, how precious. Amen. Daniel deals with the soul winner. Amen. Malachi deals with the finished product in the day I make up my jewels. They shall be mine. Amen. We must not merely get and keep members. We must fall at all possible, turn them to righteousness. Allow me, turn them to holiness. For without holiness, no man shall look upon that beauty that fades on ever. No man shall see that crystalline throne on that sea of glass shrouded with rainbows. Amen. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Amen. Some way, somehow, we must, if to our last breath we strive, some way, somehow, we must cause them to want to follow Christ. Sister Collins and I have spent our lives trying to make holiness and righteousness attractive instead of making it obnoxious. I don't think there's anything to be gained by being overbearing and obnoxious. Amen. And so I thank God for a good wife, that when God anoints me to chasten, where I have blistered the hide and poured in the salt, my dear wife comes along in my wake and pours in the oil and helps my ministry by her example and by her life. Amen. And she is not jealous of my time and attentions to the church. Let me tell you something, girls. If you aspire someday somewhere to be a preacher's wife, you'll not help him any by being jealous of the time that he spends with the church. He's not his own, and he's not really yours. He belongs to God in the service of God. Oh, I've seen women. I had a dear sister in Hydrick, Kentucky, down Barville, said to me in bitterness, I want my husband back. You know what was wrong? He was a pastor and a good one. But she didn't like all the time that he was away from her. Amen. She became more bitter through the years and more rebellious through the years, and it took on other attributes. And finally, he was no longer a holiness preacher, no longer in holiness ranks. Amen. Let me tell you something, dear prospective preacher's wife. You can bring a curse on the whole church by your example. Because most of the ladies in the church are going to look at what you're doing to interpret what the husband is preaching. He may speak in high-sounding phrases about holiness. Amen. But when he talks about holiness, he's going to look at you, preacher's wife, to determine what he means when he says holiness. And you are the definition, to a more or lesser degree, whether you like it or not, of that preacher's holiness message. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that if we give our body to be burned, we bestow all our goods to feed the poor. Amen. However we do, for religious reasons, without charity, it profiteth us nothing. Amen. The old song says, God lays some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I ever do my part to win that soul to thee. Praise God. Amen. If I give my body to be burned, and there's some that have done that. Amen. We read about Jim Jones, 1,000 that drank the poison punch. And David Koresh's 500 or so that chose the flames of their own making, amen, rather than liberty. And we read of those Buddhist monks in Saigon of a few decades ago that immolated themselves by dousing themselves with gasoline and burning themselves in protest to the politics of their day for political reasons. We got a lot of people burning themselves, a lot of people turning their poisonous gas loose in the subways to kill off a few people, amen, to voice their protest. We've got all kinds of crackpots out there today for one reason or other that are expressing themselves and even committing suicide. But it don't count unless you're living for God, sold out to Jesus, and have a love for the individual soul. Amen. Amen. 3 years ago, last January 19th, on a Sunday morning coming down, my daddy walked to the end of the driveway with his old 30-30 deer rifle. We'd been down there a few months earlier. Sister Collins and I was in the back bedroom. Before we went to sleep, we heard him on his knees praying. In Jesus' name, he closed his prayer. My wife said, "He's praying." Amen. The last letter I wrote to my dear old daddy was, "Daddy, go to church. Give your life to God. Get baptized and put substance to your prayer. Put legs on your prayer," is what a way I worded it. It's my last letter. My dad's last letter was, "My body's worn out, my mind's wore out, and I can't keep up in this world anymore. I love everybody," he said, "and I have no enemies." And all the rest that he said didn't matter. I looked down on his cold, pale frame in the casket. I thought I had him right on the tips of my fingers, Richard. I thought he's just about to make the commitment. Brother Taylor prayed for him every day. But somehow, my precious old daddy slipped right through my fingers. I had him right here in the altar twice. You were so kind to him. You loved him. You prayed for him. Oh, my dream was that someday my daddy would get saved and know the joy in Jesus that I have known, Brother Hughes. That it'll be different in the last days of Mom and Daddy because they come to know Jesus. Satan would rob me of that satisfaction. Amen. He beat me to him some way, somehow. He took advantage of his weakness in my absence, some way, somehow. Amen. I looked down on my daddy's cold, pale face. He was my hero as a boy. I told my wife, I said, through tear-filled eyes, "I don't care if he couldn't keep up. I wanted him. He was precious to me." Amen. If some way, somehow, I could not win him, unless in those last moments made his commitment to Christ. I don't know. I don't have much hope. But I have you. You're precious to me also. Amen. And I love you. Praise God. Hallelujah. With a church like this, people of God like this, with the love of God like this, I hope nobody feels like an orphan at the Highway of Holiness Church. Amen. I hope the Highway of Holiness Church is not like an overpopulated orphanage. I had a lot of years' experience with this.